And we're back. Welcome
back
to
from the Dark Edge.
Exactly.
Got a nickname for this show.
We have a nickname for the show.
What the Flick.
What the Flick. I love it.
My wife has a list of nicknames you'll be hearing more in the future.
This is
23
episode 23 of Deep Thinking, the Motorcycle Road Racing Podcast with Ed Sorbo. And you can find Ed on the web at Lindemann Engineering Race Suspension or Lindemann-Suspension.
Why is it so hard for you?
I don't know.
You came up with a ridiculous name for your blog.
Right.
Your website.
It wasn't
that
easy.
You can't remember. Exactly. And so you project that on all the rest of us. Right? My address is le-suspension.com. And like, even makes sense. The LE part is simple. Or
like,
you can just type Lindemann Engineering into Google.
Right.
Of course, you got to be able to spell Lindemann and engineering. But both will help. Google will help you with both of those.
And if you can't spell engineering, do you really want them as a client?
I can't spell it, so I'm not quippy. And so he's Michael Gugis, and you can find him at
motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com. Cracks me up when I go look at the places, the traffic sources.
It cracks you up when you look in the mirror.
Oh, no, it cracks the mirror. I have a face made for radio, son. Somebody visited my website from Malta. I didn't even know where Malta is.
Probably a hacker.
Yeah, probably. And then they realized, well, there's nothing here to steal.
My web guy, James Licquar.
Go on.
Set me up with a sophisticated tracking.
Right, right.
You know how many people?
Yeah.
My site gets a lot of hits.
You know,
from real places, real people, and even...
Are you dissing my readership in Malta?
No, I'm telling you, you got to contact James Licquar, and you got to get the tracking system going so you can know how, you know, who's been there and what. Mine even tells me people came to the home page, and then they went to this other page, and this other page, and then, or how many people just left, and that kind of stuff.
It's called the bounce rate.
Yes, that's the thing.
The bounce rate for porn sites is usually about 20%. So when anybody tells you, oh yeah, I was there, but I immediately clicked out of it because it was an accident, 4 out of 5 times... They're like the dentist who recommends sugarless gum for the patients who chew gum. Ed, how far back from a jet airliner, trust me, this has to do with racing, how far back from a jet airliner does the contrail start?
That's a good question.
I know the answer to this.
So, it's how far back from a jet engine.
Correct.
Does the contrail start?
Correct.
We're talking about condensation trail. So
correct.
When you have cold air up in the atmosphere and then you fly an airplane through it, you warm up some of that air.
Correct.
And then condensation makes those white lines in the sky.
Right.
You, along with my grandmother, can choose to believe
that's
the government seeding the atmosphere and stuff like that.
That's a different podcast.
So the original contrails, right? World War II.
Right.
And that's where you see, you can even find pictures on the internet of B-17s and other
bombers
and they're leaving them contrails up high. And then you can see the curvy ones, which would be the fighter planes. So, and any engine operating up in the cold atmosphere will do the same thing. And so the question is, how far behind the engine starts?
How far behind the engine does it start?
It's
I know the answer to this.
That gives the air enough time to the water enough time to condense out of the air.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. How far?
Yeah, I don't know.
I was at Fontana today shooting at the Wira races, and I was bored. There was a red flag or something like that, and a jet went overhead, and I thought, what the hell? I've got a 200 millimeter lens. It's only 6 miles straight up into the sky,
okay.
You know? And I shot and I went home and just before I got here and I blew up the photo to maximum, you know, expansion. And you can see the contrail starts just before the tail.
Okay, what was your control in this experiment?
Control.
We don't even know what a control is.
I do, but why would it need a control? It's a simple
observation. It's not an experiment. Well, you said,
I didn't say
how far behind does it form? You implied in all situations.
I said in a
you're
jet
just
airliner,
one example.
You went off on this tangent of an Immelmann loop, you know?
An Immelmann loop, by the way, is a maneuver in a fighter plane to get behind the other guy.
Everybody knows that.
Sure they do.
I'm sure they do. No, it was actually kind of cool. You could see it. It starts just in front of the tail section.
So the thing about that, right, is it's going to be relative to all the various temperatures.
Correct.
So, and the humidity.
Correct.
And, right. So right. Your airplane at that speed with those engines and this day,
right.
It did that.
Absolutely.
I think it's not really so much a distance as it is a time. And then as the speed changes, you cover more distance in that same amount of time.
But isn't
okay, so in other words, if the jet is flying slow,
right.
I think you'll get the contrail to start appear to start closer to the airplane.
And when
you go faster, it takes time for the temperature change to happen and the condensation to do its thing.
Perhaps. I think it all depends on the exhaust velocity of the
again,
exhaust
relative
coming
speed.
Out of, coming out of the jet. But the exhaust,
did you know
the
that
exhaust
jet...
velocity doesn't change just because the speed of the jet changes, does it?
Well, the velocity of the exhaust is going to be whatever the force from the engine is plus the speed of the plane.
Yes, but
so the answer is yes, it does change.
But force is mass times velocity squared.
Yes. That doesn't
so
affect... Okay, but speaking of this, so here's a neat another thing. And the reason this stuff is neat and is relevant to motorcycles is it's because it's technical stuff. And the
right.
curiosity to understand how things work
is
the curiosity that helps you figure out if you have a compression or a rebound problem or your gearing or whatever.
It makes you a better engineer and it makes you a better rider.
Here's a crazy, you know, at first blush, you wouldn't even think about this.
Okay.
Right? Because airplanes can travel much faster than the speed of sound.
Correct.
And they're driven by jet engines.
Correct.
There's no airplanes that go faster than the speed of sound with propellers. Doesn't
no,
work.
No.
But jet engines cannot swallow, ingest supersonic air.
Hmm.
So in other words, inside of a jet engine isn't just a hollow tube.
No, no, no.
There's
you
a bunch of stuff in there, and it's all moving
it.
And spinning and everything.
Yeah, it has to be shaped.
So this air comes zooming down the front of the engine, which is a big tube of some
right.
shape.
Right.
And then it runs into the blades, the fan blades, which are a whole lot of little propellers.
Right, right, right.
And the air stops. It can't be going supersonic through all that stuff.
So you've got to use...
So what happens is it develops a shock wave
right.
in front of the vanes.
Okay.
And it's going to happen.
Okay.
The engineer, the design part of this is the guys figured this out. Because what happened is they got close to the speed of sound, right? And then it was hard to get, like you needed more and more power.
It has to do with
all kinds of prowess, okay?
But go on.
And these other things are pressure waves. They happen in the engine. They happen at
the
wings, on the bodies,
right,
everything,
right.
Okay? And so what you do is you design the nozzle, the intake part
right.
of the engine, to produce a series of smaller shock waves.
Right.
It's slowing the air down the same amount, but it produces significantly less drag. So, anyway, be a gearhead.
Exactly. Good. No matter what it is. If you want to race submarines, go ahead.
Well, we do race submarines.
Of course. We call that military
war.
Behavior.
Yeah.
But you know what?
So we had a topic. What was it going to be?
It had to do with the jet dragster that some knucklehead's running out on the East Coast. Oh. No, it's a jet motorcycle. That thing, I mean, it doesn't come out of the line really hard. Okay, but by the time
I think the term is out of the hole.
Out of the hole. It doesn't come off the line very hard. But when you get to the end of that quarter mile,
it's moving.
That thing is going. Let's see. I wanted to...
You wanted to complain about something.
I always
some
complain
racing.
About
I know,
stuff,
that's why I'm going to be eating while you're talking.
Oh, okay.
British Superbike and MotoGP. You said you wanted to complain about both of them.
No, I don't have nothing to complain about in MotoGP. But... where were you today, Ed?
Racetrack again. Rub it in.
Excellent.
Willow Springs.
Excellent.
It was windy.
Breezy. We use the term breezy.
I'm not at the track anymore.
Okay. Got it. I was out at Fontana. It was beautiful.
I'm tired and hungry, and we've met in a secret undisclosed parking
location,
lot.
Right?
Close to between Michael's place and I had to drive in by on my way to my place.
And
after a long weekend, more than a weekend, of driving around California and doing racetrack stuff.
Yeah.
And we're making podcasts for you guys. You guys better appreciate this.
Exactly. You know, all up, and Jesus Christ, this coffee is not good at all. I forgot to turn my phone off. It's funny. The pavement always looks different when you walk it. I walked out to the place where I shot from, you know, and you look and you're like, some of this looks a little sketchy.
This podcast is going nowhere. Let's get to our topic.
We have a topic. Oh, that's right. Okay. Let's see. Two things. First off, British Superbike.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I complained earlier in a previous blog post on motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com. I said, you know, this looks a little sketchy. And here's what happened last time out.
So you were complaining about the rule about no traction control, which they do by issuing spec ECUs. Okay.
Now there's some other things too that have always kind of bugged me. When I went to England a few years back and watched a race at Brands Hatch, British Superbikes, right? And Dave Swartz from Road Racing World was talking to me afterwards, and he said, "Did you notice any air vents there?"
You know, I was thinking about mentioning that and whatever you were going to say just now.
Okay. I'm reading Ed's mind.
I get it that a lot of those guys have raced on the streets and whatever, so any closed circuit track is way safer than that bullshit, right?
Woo, 5 feet of runoff room.
Well, the worst thing that I see is curbs, right? You're on the street, you fall down, then boom, boom, curb. Ooh. Even if there's a big field on the other side of it, whacking a curb's
right,
a bad thing.
Right.
Okay, but they got a highly successful series. They got the places packed.
But
they got to be making money.
Cut down
some trees.
Yeah, right? Or pop for some air vents. Here's the other thing. Okay, and this is a thing that spooked me. I was reading this at Crash.net earlier this week. A couple of guys.
He talks with his hands.
I do. I'm like a fighter pilot.
It's radio.
I'm like a fighter pilot. Okay. Don't make me. Well, never mind. So I'm reading on Crash.net earlier this week. Okay. Same thing in practice in the races last time they're through, you know, a whole bunch of crashes. One guy has a broken wrist. One guy's got a broken leg. Yeah, has a broken leg. And one guy has a concussion. The thing that spooked me about the stories was that the guy with the broken leg, a clean break through his leg, and the guy with the concussion were cleared to race. The guy with the concussion was quoted as saying, "My vision was fuzzy right up to the start of race two." How the hell did the medical director clear him?
You gotta give him consistency, right?
Jesus Christ!
Those guys are still comparing their misery level to the Blitz. This is not as bad as V2 rockets falling out of the sky, so we're okay.
So it's all a matter of perspective, right? There's no actual landmines in the sweepers, and nobody's shooting at them from the stands. So hey, it's all good.
You know, Moto America just raced at Road Atlanta.
Right.
They had bad luck on the weather.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about that.
Right.
There was approximately a third more air fence and other deployable soft barrier thingamabobbies. There's different kinds of them now, right?
Right.
Than were ever deployed before.
Right.
And I autographed one of the first air fence. We had like a ceremony at Road America, right? Because I donated money when this all started. My mom donated money.
Wow.
And I got to autograph one of the barriers when we first were setting them
up.
And there were like four at the first event, right?
Right.
And now there's this huge amount of it. So I've been hearing stories and participating in setting up air fence and being involved in it at various levels for a long time. And the Moto America guys, from all my sources, are like, how much more can we get? How soon can we have it? When can we deploy it? Anybody want to come and help, right? Where the previous guys were like, okay, how much of this shit do I have to take?
Right, what's the minimum effort that we got to put in? And that's the thing that...
America can do this in their first and second event, the British ought to be able to do this. And you know what? We got boats. We can ship air fence over there. The guy who makes air fence, wherever he is.
Australia,
right?
Yeah.
There's two of them, right? Whatever.
Yeah.
They can ship it there, too.
Yes.
There's no excuse. There's no excuse.
Like I said, I always found that a little
You want to know what one of the problems is?
I'm listening.
This is a problem I see a lot, and this is a problem that I am doing the solution now in my own life.
Okay.
People won't say no.
Right?
You get all desperate to go race. You show up at the racetrack. It's a clusterfuck. And you all sit around and wait and whatever and still participate and let them keep their money. Okay? In my neighborhood, I have chosen to race with Wira because the others are, they do not earn my money.
Okay.
So I'm not getting to race as much as I want to race. But I cannot support and encourage and reward that kind of behavior. And so these guys, these racers in England, right? They're like, oh, okay, I'll race with the spec box and I don't need air fence and blah, 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 right? It is the responsibility of the organization. But
The organization.
There is blame to go around everybody.
Yeah, it doesn't work unless somebody supports it. Yep.
Well, absolutely. Well, and it doesn't. Also, okay, supporting good, carrot. But you got to have a stick. And the stick is, I'm not going to spend my money. Right? If you go to a McDonald's and they treat you bad, you don't go back.
Right.
But if you go to a racing club and they're late and their time and scoring system crashes and they only have one ambulance in sight, so you have to wait for 3 hours for the next ambulance, you show up the next month, motherfucker.
Right.
You deserve what you get.
You have backed up to the ass-kicking machine.
You think it's all cool when you roll through tech and didn't notice the thing that you know you're supposed to have done? When you want to know what that means, bonehead, that means there's another fucked up shit on another bike out there and somebody is going to get hurt.
Ooh, I remember the first time somebody came and bragged to me about the fact that they didn't drain their radiator. I was just like, really? Thanks for caring so much about my well-being, you know? But I digress.
And your own well-being.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what?
If your thing is to get away with shit and do the minimalist and sneak it by,
right.
Go find another fucking sport. You don't belong in this sport.
Ed, and you know what?
Go be the chick who cheated the marathon and got caught.
Oh, which one was that?
That just happened. They caught some.
Another one?
Yeah, she won. You know what I want to know? How does she tell her mom? Oh, sorry, mom. I didn't win.
I was a little.
She deserves what she got. You know what? That mom didn't do a good job as a mom, too.
Probably was. Yeah.
And the dad.
Who was the one?
And the grandma and the grandpa.
Who was the one years ago who took a cab? That was it.
Yeah, that was like the first person to do
that. That was genius.
She had a hope, right? That was before transponders. Like now, when you run events, they have a little tag on your foot, and you got to run across these pads. And so they go back and they look and they go, hey, let's check this out. She wasn't in any of these places, and then here she is in the lead. And they had her figured out right away.
Oh, yeah, that's too bad. Look. I gotta really give a shout out to the person who did the taxi cab thing, though. You gotta kind of admire
that's
that.
That's like 30 years ago.
I know, but I'm still in
awe. Why do you gotta
that?
Admire being such a wimp that you have to cheat?
That's genius.
It's not genius.
No,
it's sad.
Of all the things that you could have done, a taxi. Excuse me. Did they plan it? Did they get halfway to it and go, you know what? The 26 miles is bullshit. They must not have had, because they had to have money with them, or the taxi wouldn't have taken them. And why aren't we mad at the taxi cab driver? Aren't they complicit?
I am.
Aren't they complicit in this as well? Are they just like, oh, I see nothing?
Okay, right. So do you have any other complaints about British Superbike?
No, I am concerned about, you know, the doctor who's supposed to be, you know, saying go or no go. Going, you know, Colonel Clink, I see nothing.
Yep.
Or Sergeant Schultz, whichever one it is. That's a problem. Let's talk about MotoGP.
Okay.
Ed. Valentino Rossi is 30 points ahead of Marc Marquez in the points.
Who'd have thunk it, huh?
Who'd have thunk it?
Neither of us picked Valentino for the championship.
I am still completely committed to the fact that he will not win this championship. Okay? It's still going to be Marquez. As a matter of fact, I'm even more convinced it's going to be Marquez because of the Danny's medical problems and because of Lorenzo's. Dude,
Lorenzo's imploding right now.
I will be surprised. I really will be surprised if he comes back next year.
Well, there's too little data for that, right? The guy can still turn this season around, and so you can't thinking about next year. Anybody who's thinking about next year right now is out of their mind.
Think of last year.
I don't care.
This is a continuation of the pattern from last year, though. And don't get me wrong, dude.
Okay, so this year he had a legitimate helmet problem.
Right.
That's not him.
Right.
He was leading the race.
Right.
Dominating, doing really well.
Okay? And then his helmet falls apart.
Yeah.
Okay, very upsetting.
Okay. What happened at COTA?
Wasn't fast.
He wasn't fast. Okay, and then what
happened in Argentina?
You know,
wasn't
fast. But for different reasons.
Dude, so I think he's lost his motivation. I really do. Did you happen?
What I think is going on is that so I go to the racetrack and I am self-contained. I do everything myself.
Correct.
Rossi has his group of three or four guys.
Right.
They even have their own little space with their own little TV they can watch. You know that's got to be part of the contract, right?
Right.
But he's had the same three. Is it three guys or four guys?
I don't know.
I think it's three.
He's
had those same guys.
His posse.
They're perfect.
Okay.
Okay. Lorenzo has a posse, and you can see them in the shots, right?
Okay.
And so far we've had the helmet problem, posse. We've had, I've seen Lorenzo like making a gesture. Something wasn't ready, whatever, right?
Right, right.
I think that's where the problem is.
You think it's his posse?
It's not his posse's fault. He's responsible for setting those guys up. But yeah, that entourage bullshit. He needs to find the entourage thing that he didn't have. Like, you notice Marquez? No entourage.
He's got his own cubbyhole helmet thing, whatever.
Yeah, but his dad's not in the picture with it.
That's true.
Right? He's got a certain... To me, I have to have... If I was in their position, I would have to do what Marquez does. I have to keep my hands busy.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stand to do what Lorenzo does, is just sit there and wait for the guy to hand me my earplug and stick it in, right? That's where I think the problem is. That's not the real world. But everybody needs to remember, and most importantly you, these guys all have the skills.
Oh, dude, it's not
and
about...
The difference between winning and losing is this tiny little thing.
It's not about skills. But it's not... Hold on. No, it's not about skills. It's about motivation.
They're motivated, buddy.
You know, you don't read Superbike Planet. And quite frankly, you know...
Anybody who reads Superbike Planet is contributing to the degradation of motorcycle racing in America.
No, no, no. I disagree. And I'll tell you why. You ready? Adblock Plus. Whoever's advertising on that site is getting no value when I log on there. But I digress. Occasionally, you know, a blind pig can tell the right time twice a day.
You know, using other people's trick sayings doesn't give any credit to your argument.
What's your argument?
I think he's lost his motivation. And I'm giving you specific reasons why he hasn't
lost his motivation. That was a brilliant mixed metaphor right there.
Okay.
Secondly,
but it was still a mixed metaphor.
It was a good mix. The reason I mention it, Dean actually went and visited Kenny Roberts at COTA. Okay, Kenny knows they've known each other forever.
Just to make sure we're talking about the same person, Dean. That's the guy who wrote "Change is Always Bad."
Yeah, probably at some point in his life, but I don't know that one. Anyway, he knows Kenny. Okay, goes into Kenny's motorhome, talks to Kenny for a bit, walking out, doesn't even notice that somebody's been sitting there the whole time, staring down at the floor, staring at his cell phone. It's Lorenzo. He is physically just... reminds me of the article I read about Noriyuki Haga with the tire guy grabbing him by the shoulders and yelling at him, "You're Noriyuki Haga, dude," and Haga's just slumped. There's something that happens, dude. There's something that happens, and it's not about the skills. It's never about the skills, okay? Because you could be incredibly
skillful. You're taking other people's stories and adding meaning to them that's not there.
I disagree.
Dean Adams doesn't notice somebody in a room with him means Dean Adams is a blind asshole. It doesn't mean anything about the person.
That's a distinct possibility, but... Is not science merely adding evidence upon evidence, Ed? I am practicing science, not religion. Let me finish.
We're already at 21 minutes.
That's awesome.
This is the worst podcast ever.
Oh, no. We've made far worse. You and I have made worse. Here, let me throw this out to you, okay? It's not about the skills, okay? But every time you go out there, you have to hang, you're hanging your ass out on the line. Okay. At a certain point, you start to think about, I'm hanging my ass out there and my helmet's falling apart. I'm finishing sixth. Everybody's paying attention to my teammate. How much money do I have in the bank? How many millions does Lorenzo have now? He retires now. He's a double world champion. Never has to work a day in his life. And he's a hero in Spain for as long as he cares to keep existing. I don't know, man. I wonder.
Well, you just said it. You don't know.
I don't. But I have my doubts.
You can have all your doubts. Unfortunately,
it's not like I'm angling for his...
People aren't like listening to you.
You know what? And that's too bad.
Okay, so Pedroza is going to be back after his wrist is fixed, if it's possible to fix that thing. I don't know the details of these surgeries. There's one way to find out. They're going to test it. I also think, and if he comes back, he's going to be able to win races. And then what happens, and if he can come out as a championship shot or not, depends on, you know, how the other guys do. Crazy shit can happen.
Right.
Somebody you don't expect is going to win a race this year. One of the Ducatis is going to have
definitely.
A great day, something like that.
Crutchlow.
Maybe. Rossi is smart enough not to blow his lead. Marquez is going to remain fast, but Marquez is going to keep making mistakes. You cannot perform at that level of anything and not make mistakes. And he had 2 years of not making any mistakes, and now he's paying for it. And Lorenzo is just as fast as he ever was. The helmet problem will not occur again. He made bad choices at COTA, and he chose the wrong front tire at
he's just slow.
Argentina. Oh. Rossi's genius and the genius of his crew chief is they decided on the airplane to commit to the very hard tire from the get. And if Lorenzo had done that, he would have been up there with him. But 24 minutes already.
All right.
2 minute warning.
2 minute board.
Right.
This is not football.
I invented the term, and then one of our readers corrected us.
I told my mom the rugby, the end of the world story today, and she says it's got credence. Okay, now if you want to argue with me,
my
it's
mom
one thing.
Thinks all my jokes are funny too. I hate to tell you.
You take this up with Miss Melba? I don't know, man.
And your mom still has the slippers. So you better be careful. We don't have time for the 2 minute board. So I was Ed Sorbo.
And he was
Michael Gugis. This was number 23. And we promise to try to do better on the next one. Aloha.
Sayonara.